Good afternoon, and thank you everyone for being with us today. My name is Bailey Crone, and I am the Director of Technical Assistance with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I'll be hosting today's call, so I want to thank everyone for being here. This is the second of two stand-down teleconference trainings. The first call, which was a couple of weeks ago, provided an overview on stand-down development and history and an introduction to the various funding streams. Today's call will really hone in on your funding and budget plans. We'll walk through the DOL VETS funding process and the application. For the new HVRP grantees that we have on the line that might have never participated in or held their own stand-down event, today's presentation should give you some good baseline knowledge for your funding application. And for the more experienced grantees, this might be your first time applying for standalone stand-down funds outside of your HVRP budget. So I hope this guidance will be useful. Joining me on today's call, we have Stephen Nelson. He represents the Tucson Veterans Serving Veterans, and he was the vice chair of their stand-down event last year. He's going to talk about their program development and some of the great innovative work that they've done for their stand-down, just to give you another perspective of how a very successful event can be held. I'm going to show everyone how to get to the slides for today's presentation. Everyone probably received an email with a link to where the presentation is located. NCHV actually has a brand new website. If you haven't seen it, you should go and check it out. It just went live this week. Because of that, we actually have a different place where the presentation is located. So if everyone wants to join me on the NCHV website, if you don't have the presentation pulled up already, I'm going to show you how to find it. It's just www.nchv.org. There's a section up on the top that says Service Providers. If you hover over that and click on Teleconferences. And then if you scroll down to the last one listed on that page, you will see the presentation for today listed as presentation PDF. When you pull it up, it should say Stand Down Program Planning and Financing, and it should have the date as July 11th, 2012. So I'll give everyone a second to pull that up here. Once again, NCHV has a new website, so if you go to our website, you'll see it looks a little bit different. Hover over the icon that says Service Providers up on the top. Click on Teleconferences, and it will take you to the right place. You definitely want to go to the presentation for today's call, which is July 11th, Stand Down Program Planning and Financing. So if you go to the second slide, the agenda, just going to go over the call logistics really quickly. We have about an hour for the call. If you have questions during the call or afterward, please send me an email. You probably all have my contact information, but if you don't, it's bcrone, B-C-R-O-N-E, at nchv.org. You can always shoot me an email either during the presentation or afterward if you have follow-up, and I can always share them with Stephen Nelson if you have questions for him specifically after the call. When he and I are done, we'll open up the floor for the rest of the hour to Q&A. If you do have questions during that time, please feel free to ask them, and we will do our best to answer. If you have more specific questions that are related to your program or your application and you want to talk with me about those offline, more than happy to do so. Just shoot me an email, and we'll set up some time to talk. Please go on to slide 3, Matching Needs to Services. I'm pretty sure everyone on today's call has a pretty good background on what stand down is, what it means, what it looks like, and hopefully everyone has participated in them. But I'm just going to briefly go over the background and philosophy because I think it's really important. The most effective stand down events have two main components. They provide services that act as a catalyst to reintegration, and they create that sense of community that provides an empowerment and support base for homeless veterans that are stepping back into the workforce. When you're thinking through your application for funding, from DOL Vets, and when you're thinking through how your program is actually going to be designed, it's very important just to keep that empowerment philosophy of the founders of Stand Down in mind. This coming up weekend is the 25th anniversary of San Diego Stand Down, so it's not very timely to have this call and to also be talking about that important philosophy. This idea of the hand up, not a handout, is already being carried out not only in San Diego but all around the country. Stand Down events are 1 to 3 days long. They provide veterans with a broad range of necessities like food, clothes, sleeping bags, blankets. We're going to go into all that in more depth in a bit. Veteran service organizations, National Guard and Reserve units, homeless shelters, healthcare providers, legal service providers, VA and Department of Labor staffs, and members of the community all come together to organize these events. Like your overall HVRP program, or if you're a partner that works with HVRP, the goal of Stand Down is to strengthen that community and provide services that are going to foster gainful employment. On slide 4, you'll see the national snapshot of the unmet needs that were identified by both consumers and by the VA and community providers. I included this in the last presentation, but I also included it here because I think it's important to keep this context in mind. To meet those dual goals of Stand Down, creating community and providing services, organizers can build that rapport with veterans by pairing services with the actual stated needs. Now, not every community is going to have the capacity, and not every event is intended to meet all these needs, but the most successful events can leverage their partnerships and use different sources of funding to meet the most immediate needs for the veterans that come into their Stand Down. Now, when you're looking at these unmet needs, the first thing that I notice is that many of them require longer-term interventions, but the glory of Stand Down is that it can really start that process by making the initial connections and earning the homeless veterans buy-in to the programs. On slide 5, you see many of the services that are offered at Stand Down. This is just a general list, and you see how a lot of these services are going to parallel the needs. And that's not by accident. That's over many years of planning and being responsive to the needs of the homeless veterans that do come into Stand Down programs. For example, legal assistance is something that is an unmet need for a variety of reasons, whether it be discharge upgrades or, you know, child support issues, working on outstanding warrants, those type of things, homeless court at Stand Down and before and actually after Stand Down as well, can provide the necessary assistance to meet those legal needs. A lot of veterans mention permanent housing options or longer-term housing options as an unmet need. At Stand Down, they can get access to referrals for grant per diem or VASH, especially for emergency housing referrals, depending on what their longer-term housing needs are going to be. Another unmet need that was mentioned is job training. Stand Down offers a great opportunity for the veterans to be engaged with HVRP programs when and if they're there, and the different services that go into facilitating job readiness for veterans. So clothing, detox, dental care, a lot of those pieces that build the confidence and the stability of that veteran. I'm not going to talk for a long time about the different types of and classifications of Stand Down, but just to know that there are these 4 different models and your event can fall into one of these 4, depending on what type of event you structure, will determine whether you're actually eligible to apply for a DOL Vets funding because there are certain things that you do need to provide within that funding. The first one, Stand Down, that's the traditional model. VA annually records the events with the after-action reports that they receive from service providers. Around 20% of events fall into this top category of the traditional Stand Down. The 3-day events in 2010, there was an average of 377 veterans that participated. And for the 2-day events, there was an average of 442 veterans that participated. So these are multi-day, very large, require lots of coordination events. The step down from that would be the Homeless Veteran Resource Fair. It's just a modified model. A lot of the services are the same. It's just not going to be quite as big as the general Stand Down, but there's still that focus on fostering community, some of these events, if they're 2-day, are going to be obviously overnight events. So there's that strong sense of building community. Now the last two, the health fair and the job fair, these are more referral centric. So I'll emphasize again that you have to have a very strong referral network in order for these to be effective, because a lot of the actual service delivery isn't being done on site. It's being done after the event and without having those really strong connections to the community providers. The worst thing that could happen is that a veteran comes into that event and is then lost in the system. Now, there are other events outside of these four models that might be structured similarly but offer services to all veterans, to all homeless individuals, or to specific subgroups, like a female veteran-only stand-down. These are very important community events. They're going to be outside of the scope of today's call, but they are also important events to know about if they are happening in your community. Let's go on to the meat of today's first presentation, which is the funding and support. DOL Vets annually awards HVRP grants that have the purpose of expediting the reintegration of homeless veterans into the labor force. Overall money is used in support of stand down. In fiscal year 2010, Vets supported 81 events through $637,000 in grants. Now, the VA documented 196 stand downs in the calendar year 2010, so you can see that many events are already utilizing the Vets grant funding. There was an increase of 4% in the numbers of veterans served, and 8.5% of the veterans served in that calendar year were women. So we're seeing increasing numbers of veterans who are accessing stand down, and there is funding available to help you support that. We'll also talk a bit about the VA homeless programs and the type of support that you can request and coordinate with your VA medical center. And then I'm not going to talk a whole lot about the donations of goods and services because I'm going to have Stephen Nelson come on and talk about what he's done with his event. And then when we open it up to Q&A, that's another opportunity for you all to talk a bit about what assets you've leveraged in your community that you think would be helpful on an overall scale. We definitely welcome that. On slide 8, VDSC's stand down guide is a great guide when you're wanting to start your event for the organizations that are new on the line today that haven't previously put together an event. I'm not going to go through all of these because I think their guide is very useful. I think I have a link to it at the end of today's presentation, but if not, you can email me and I'll send that to you. We're going to talk specifically about step 8, developing the budget, and more specifically applying for DOL Vets funding. Going on to slide 9, so we're going to talk about Vets funding opportunity in an awful lot of detail here. For HVRP programs, it's likely that you are applying for or have applied for this funding. It's awarded on a first-come, first-served basis until no more funding is available, and it's a non-competitive grant. It's anticipated that there would be up to $600,000 for 70 events per fiscal year. I realize I had a typo on this slide. Near the end, it says calendar year, October 1st through September 30th. It's supposed to say fiscal year. Obviously, that's not the calendar year. But that's just a good thing to know, and that's the accounting period for the federal government. So the federal fiscal year starts on October 1st and ends on September 30th of the next calendar year. Now, stand-down funding availability is dependent on congressional appropriations, so it's something that must be renewed each year. There's a maximum of $10,000 per multi-day event or $7,000 for a one-day event. So if you think back to the different types of models, depending on what capacity you have for your organization or where you can be involved, this will help you when you're doing your budget planning, deciding what your possible maximum awards would be. When you do your application, your stand-down funding is awarded for a specific date and for a specific event, so keep that in mind. If you are planning to submit an application for future fiscal years, you'll need to submit a new application for each one of those additional fiscal years, so each application is for one specific event on a date. And so if you have your first one approved in the current fiscal year, keep in mind that that doesn't mean that your future applications will also be approved. You'll still need to submit those in the right time frame. looking at the eligible entities, this is, I think, very straightforward. You'll also obviously have to have a familiarity with your service area and your population to be served. You'll explain that in your program narrative, which we're going to talk about in a couple slides. If you are registered with the IRS as a 501c4, you are not eligible to apply for DOL, that stand down funding. And if you have been debarred or suspended, you can't apply for federal financial assistance, so you therefore cannot apply for stand down funds. But if you fall within that eligibility category, you should be able to apply for funds. And if you do have questions about that, I have a link to the DVET directory at the end of this. You'll want to get in contact with them to make sure that you are an eligible entity. Let's take a look at the minimum services, which are on slide 11. So your stand-down grant funds need to be used to enhance employment and training opportunities. When you're filling out that application, anytime you can show how the funds you're using are specifically targeted to meeting that goal of employment for the homeless veterans that are coming into your stand-down event, that's the real purpose and the heart of what this means. So employment services, that means coordination with the DVOPs and leavers. I have a link to a locator for them so you can get in contact with them as early as possible when planning your event. And now all of the HVRP grantee awards are out. We send out an announcement for that, but they're also up on the VETS website. So you should be able to go there and see if there are any HVRP grantees in your area that could come and participate in your stand down. You have to have that connectivity to the VA Medical Center services. That involves reaching out to them as early as possible to make sure that they are able to send staff over. You might have multiple stand-down events that are happening in a close time frame and in a close geographic area, so VA Medical Center staff might be a bit strained. It takes extra coordination there, so starting that as early as you can is necessary. For housing referrals, for DOL event funding, you have to have emergency referrals included, but I think it's useful to think of housing referrals like you would with your HVRP program, so they need to be fitting for the individuals who come in, whether that be connectivity to emergency housing, transitional supportive housing, permanent supportive housing through HUD-VASH, whatever it seems like the individual or family member might be eligible for, and what would be most fitting for them is a good way to think about that piece. If you look on slide 12, you have all of the allowable expenses, and I'm not going to go through every single one because they're pretty clear on here, but just a couple things to point out: that non-prescription reading glasses are okay. Prescription reading glasses are not an allowable expense, but non-prescription reading glasses are. And also notice that all of these allowable expenses are for the homeless veterans themselves, so any goods or food that you're going to purchase using DOL VET funding has to be only for the homeless veterans. It can't be for any of your staff members or your volunteers. When you see the job search media, that can include employment guides or hard copy literature or even on the portable storage media, so flash drives, something along those lines. Those are okay materials to include as well. But this is a good reference list to go back to when you're building your budget to make sure you're asking yourself, are the items I include on my budget included on that list? Am I making sure that everything that I have is specifically for the homeless veterans and isn't for anyone else who might be attending the event? Now, for allowable expenses, so any admin costs, any of your programmatic staff, your DOL VET funding cannot be used for that. That doesn't mean that you can't pay for your staff to actually be there, or doesn't mean you can't pay for the services for just homeless individuals who might not be veterans. That would include family members, but you can't pay for services or salaries of those individuals using your DOL VET funding. It has to be from elsewhere. And in your budget, you'll need to make that very clear that you're not including any of these expenses in your DOL VET's budget. Items, any sort of giveaways that you're giving to staff members, T-shirts or hats or anything like that, the funding has to come from elsewhere. And a lot of times you can get funding for those donated, like getting an organization or booster club or something to support one specific item or one specific meal. Again, any of your healthcare related expenses can't be covered with vets funding, so things like prescription eyewear or dental work, those should be things that are coming from the VA side. And I'll talk about this a little bit more, the last item there, the other or miscellaneous categories. It's going to require clarification when you submit your application, so if you can avoid, just avoid that category whenever possible. Definitely in your budget, you're not allowed to have an other or miscellaneous category, so I would avoid it altogether in your application and even in your reporting later. Let's talk about the process for your application. So the SGA was released March 10th of last year, so it's a current Federal Register notice. You can download the instructions and applications forms right from the DOLS website. And all of the forms are current. I want to make a note for everyone about the SF-424. It says in the Federal Register notice to use the most current version. The version that's up there, it expired on 4/31 of this year, but that's the most current version of the SF-424 that's available. So that is the one that you will want to use until a new form is made available, and that will be posted. But be sure to use that form, even though the date has expired, but that's the most recent one. Then after you download your forms, you complete your application, you send it in to your appropriate DVET. You can use the DVET locator at the end of the presentation. It has to be at least 90 days before your event, so you have to start early because you'll have to have your DUNS and your CCR registration before you submit your application. When you do your CCR registration, you'll get a personal identification number. Keep that. Don't share that with anyone. That's a confidential password that you receive. Your CCR registration information that you submit doesn't include that number, so just keep that in mind. Keep that in a safe, closed place. If your application is approved or if there's no changes that need to be made to it, you'll get an award letter from your grant officer, and then you'll also get more information so that you can set up your account in the payment management system. There's a financial form that you'll need to fill out. When you're returning that, I have a note here to use FedEx, UPS, or other non-USPS provider so that it's expedited. You don't want things to take longer than they have to. I'm going to talk more in a minute about drawing down your funds and reporting your results as well, but those are the next steps, and those can happen simultaneously when you're executing your event. On slide 15, you see the overall necessary components of your application. Just like with your HVRP application, when you're signing something, be sure that it's being signed in blue ink. I'm going to talk about the program narrative in a minute. The SF-424, once again, be sure to use the most current version and also sign that in blue ink. And then the rest of these pieces, you can get links to all of them right on the stand down page on the VET's website. For your letters of support, the second to last one there, you want to specifically, if you can, get those from anyone at the Career One Stop, so your DVOPs, your leavers, the VA staff, if there are local HUD or continuum of care teams that you're working with, any VSOs, your state and local agencies, local businesses, and any other nonprofits that might be providing or supporting any of the services that are going to be offered at your stand down. Letters of support can provide that extra assurance that you are going to have a very strong event that's leveraging your community resources and that you have that buy-in from the community. If you are a nonprofit, be sure to submit that nonprofit status form from the IRS. Now let's take a look at your actual application, your program narrative. You're going to need to describe a few things. Obviously, you'll have to describe your need for the stand down, which will include a knowledge of the service area and then the demographics of the homeless veterans to be served. So the numbers, what their needs are, and what you think the expected outcomes will be. This should include reference to enrolls for your DVOPs and leavers. They're a really fundamental aspect of making sure the homeless veterans are connected to employment resources. So in your program narrative, be sure that they are referenced, and any other HVRP grantees that are in your area, if you can coordinate with them, that's a useful asset as well. Your program narrative also needs to have a very thorough timeline that has those three phases mentioned there. So you're planning, your execution, and your follow-up. You want to include critical dates whenever possible. So your timeline has to have the date that your post-event report is going to be due. And I'm going to give you a lot of dates, so make note of these because you don't want to mix them up. Some are 30 days, some are 45 days. Your post-event report is due to your DVET 30 days after the end of the federal fiscal year in which your stand-down was held. Another thing in your timeline, if for some reason you're going to need to draw down funds in advance, if it's approved, you can draw down funds up to 3 days in advance, you'll need to explain that in your timeline. Now, your budget narrative, as I mentioned previously, you can't have an other or miscellaneous category, so very clearly itemize each budget item, explaining how you determined what the cost is going to be. This is especially important if you are not only serving homeless veterans but also a wider population with your event. You'll need to show how it's a per-unit cost, whether you're purchasing or renting items, whether the specific item in the budget is for the participant in the event or if it's to assist the work of the volunteers. You have to be very clear in where each one of your budget items fits into those categories. On slide 18, you'll see some information about doing your drawdown and some important dates. This is just a brief overview of your drawdown process. I would take a look at the special grant provisions and the technical assistance guide for stand down for very clear information on what exactly you'll need to do. So your event has to be held before December 31st of the granted year. So just as an example, any event awarded for fiscal year 2012 must be held on or before December 31st, 2012. DOL has taken a lot of time to explain what the federal fiscal year means that applies to the program within the Federal Register notice. So take a look at that so you make sure that you are holding your event in the right time frame. As I mentioned earlier, too, your applications, if they're submitted after July 1st for events that are going to be held after September 30th, they might be held for consideration to see if funding is going to be available for the next federal fiscal year. So just good things to keep in mind. Since you might actually be drawing down funds in more than one quarter, which will be up to and after the date of your stand down, you might actually be submitting more than one federal report, but you'll need to submit the completed federal financial report no later than 45 days after the end of the quarter in which all or part of the grant award was received. And then you'll see some other important dates there that you want to be sure to comply with when you do receive your funding and when you're doing that drawdown process and later when we're talking about reporting. So let's go on to slide 19, which is the actual reporting on your funds. As I mentioned, your federal financial reports, so you can think of this in two pieces, your federal financial reports and then you have your post-event after-action report. The FFR needs to be submitted no later than 45 days after the end of each quarter in which the grant funds were received. So it gives the respective dates there for you that those would be due. You'll get a packet of information on your FFR. Be sure to look through that to see exactly what it is you need to be doing and where you need to submit. You might be submitting more than one report. When you finish these reports, be sure to save them and print them because you'll include them in your after-action report. So you don't have to go back through the system and find those reports. Just save and print them when you originally do it. And you also want to save all of your original sales receipts and your invoices. Your invoices need to be signed and dated in blue ink. That's a good thing to keep in mind. Make sure maybe you have one designated contact who is in charge of keeping all of those sales receipts in one spot. Now, your after-action report is due no later than 30 calendar days after the end of the federal fiscal quarter in which the stand-down was held. Another date there to remember, and I know there are a lot of them. I'm going to show you the necessary components of your after-action report, but it's in the special grant provisions as well, so you can either go back to the list on this presentation or go to the special grant provisions. It's important to you that if you aren't compliant in meeting these reporting requirements, that it can hurt your potential for receiving funding in future years, so be sure to be cognizant of these dates and to have them set on your calendar. It could be really exhausting in the aftermath after a stand down, but you don't want to miss these important dates. So I'm not going to go through all of the components of the after action report that are on slide 20. See the special grant provision. If you need a copy of that, I can share that with you. But these are components that you'll want to make sure that you include when you're doing that reporting. Just a little bit of additional information, and I'll leave this for you to read so that I can turn the call over to Stephen. But take a look at how, if you're planning on having a public reference to the DOL Vets grant, see the Federal Register notice for exactly what you need to do. And if you're planning on doing printing, for any sort of duplication of pages, be sure that you're first using the right language there, so whether it's duplication or printing, and that you're staying within these requirements that are listed. And one last point that I'll note for you, if you do need to modify your application or once it's been approved, you're going to submit that grant modification to your DVET, who is also going to be your GOTR. With their recommendation, that modification is then moved up the ladder to the Raw Vets, and then it's moved to DVET's national office, and it's processed from there. So if you do recognize that a grant mod might be needed, you want to notify your DVET as soon as possible so that you can jointly work on that process. So no one's caught off guard, and there's no confusion about what changes need to be made and why. And just to talk briefly about support from your VA Medical Center, so there is funding support for stand-down events through the VA. The funding comes from National Office, so the Homeless Veteran Programs Office. You'll want to get in contact with the folks at your VA Medical Center to see where their funding is going, if they have it already. A lot of that funding can go to support hand-down events that are being held on the VA Medical Center campus already, so they might not be able to provide your event with financial support. That doesn't mean that they can't dedicate staff members to participate in your event. If you can get in contact with them early enough and build that good relationship, it's helpful that you can also have the medical and the homeless veteran program staff there, as well as receiving the additional funding, which is a per-day amount, to coordinate with the medical center. But they will need to be involved in that process if you are going to be asking for funds from VA. And then last slide, slide 23, I included some resources for you. I mentioned a lot of them earlier. If there are ones I mentioned that aren't included here, just shoot me an email, and I will be sure to get them to you. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn the call over to Stephen Nelson, who's going to talk to you a little bit about the great program that they have in Arizona, and then we'll open it up to Q&A.
Thank you, Bailey. Hello, this is Stephen Nelson with Tucson Veterans Serving Veterans. The group consists primarily of state workforce personnel, such as local veterans, employment representatives, and the disabled veterans outreach personnel. Also, members are the people with the health care for the homeless at our local VA hospital here in Tucson. The two HVRP grantees in Tucson, the Primavera Foundation and Pima County, are standing members of this committee. We also have a number of service organizations, veteran service organizations, including DAV, which is a great supporter of our stand-down activities here in Tucson, the Gold Star Wives from the VA Hospital, and a number of other faith communities that join in the planning for our semi-annual stand-downs. We do a one day in the spring, and we do a 3-day in the fall. Last September 23rd, we held a 3-day stand-down at the Days Inn Motor Lodge in Tucson, Arizona. We had 116 homeless veterans in attendance that day, with 14 families included in that group, with a total number of 37 family members, which was by and far the largest participation of homeless families that we have ever had since we began STAMP activities in 2004 on a regular basis. We had it at the Days Inn Motor Lodge, and it was well planned, and it was well attended, and it went extremely well beyond my imagination. As you can imagine, when we first considered this kind of venue, everybody thought it would be pretty risky, and as it turned out that it wasn't at all. The stand-down was supported by 38 homeless service providers, representing a wide array of services for veterans and veterans' families. They were, we had a total of 205 community volunteers that participated in the three-day event, providing everything from taking care of veterans' companion animals to serving lunch, breakfast, and dinner. There was a separate tent that was placed in the center courtyard that housed all of the all 38 service providers under one roof, if you will. On the other side of the courtyard, there was another 40 by 60 tent, and that served as a community meeting place, a mess hall, a place to get a cup of coffee, whatever you needed. And in between the two was a very refreshing swimming pool. Our stand downs are marketed primarily at veterans that are either in emergency shelters or living on the street. The intake was conducted at the VA Medical Center, at the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans unit at the campus. Veterans were screened by VA for eligibility, and then they did a regular intake and got their name tags and the things that they needed, and they were bussed over to the motel at that time. People who walked up to the motel wanting to participate were driven back over to the VA for the registration process. We found that 60% of the veterans who participated over that three-day period had claimed to have been living on the streets of Tucson for a year or longer, or had had four or more episodes of homelessness over the last 3 years. It was exactly the outreach group that we wanted to reach out to, that we wanted to get off the streets for 3 days of relaxation, meeting with members of the community, getting in touch with the services that were made available to them that weekend, and having a place where they could be treated with respect and dignity was the overall comments that we heard from the veterans themselves. Believe it or not, 13 qualified veterans who registered for the stand-down had never registered to receive VA benefits until that date. Because registration was at the VA, they were registered that day. On Saturday, we had a veterans court that provided services to 41 veterans. The city magistrate, Judge Pollard, who served in Vietnam in the Marine Corps, was the presiding judge, along with lawyers who donated their time pro bono to work through a number of misdemeanor cases that day. 41 veterans, in fact, received the services that they requested that day. Another unique aspect of the things that we do when we put on a stand down is that for 4 years now, we've invited veterans and their companion animals to be a part of these three-day events. And we've had great support from the folks at the Valley Animal Hospital and Pima Animal Care Center, the local authority that licenses dogs here in Pima County. They come in for the weekend and volunteer their time, where the animals can get the shots that they need, get checked out by a veterinarian. The county licenses every dog that has their shots, and the owner is given a brand new collar and leash for their dog, and about 20 pounds of dog food for the weekend. So it's been very, very wonderful having people who would not come in before because they would not leave their dogs in the camps to be able to come in, and both of them have a good break for the weekend. We had a total of 18 companion animals at the stand down we did last September, 4 years ago when we did the first one. There was only one, so the word got out that we were not there to take away anybody's companion animal, but to provide a comfortable weekend for them. The venue of planning to do a stand-in at the Motor Hotel was a risky venture. At least at first we thought it would be, but as it turned out, the veterans really that participated that day, especially the families who'd been living in cars or bouncing one from one household to another, really enjoyed the respect and dignity that they were treated during that three-day event, which there was really no discernible incidents or even people yelling at each other or anything like that during that period of time. It was really a good weekend just to relax, enjoy the fine weather in Tucson, and talk to people about employment services. As I stated, the DevOps and Livers are the primary planners for these events, and of course, when you go to the service tent, we had a complete bank of computers that were hooked directly to the state workforce listings, and the referral systems among all 38 members there. We've been doing this since 2004, so the referral patterns are well in place. We usually like to start planning about 5 to 6 months out for these kind of events. If they're going to be three-day events, we need to ensure that we have enough volunteers during the day and the people at night to kind of take care of security if need be. Other than that, I think I'll give this back to Bailey, and if anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask.
Thank you, Stephen, for going over that. I think it's very, very useful information. It's always good to have, that additional provider perspective. And you guys had such a creative event, and I really like that piece about the services that were provided to the pets, because that can really be the make or break in determining whether the veteran's going to come into your event or come back for it. So very good to hear. Thank you so much. And I guess we can go ahead and open up the call for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, in order to ask a question, please press star 1.
And I know for a lot of folks that when you're putting together your application, that you might have some questions that are very specific to your program. So if you don't want to share those here, that's completely fine. Usually I'll talk to quite a few folks after the call, so you can just get in contact with me. I'm not going to be in the office for the next few days, but I'll be sure to get back to you as soon as I am back in the office.
Your first question comes from the line of Thomas Dresner of the New Jersey Fallen Soldiers Foundation.
Hi, Bailey. My name is Tom Dresner.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, I really appreciate everything that's going on here. I just want to let you know, I've gotten a lot of information. We're doing a lot of outreach. We have our VA on board, the state of New Jersey and all that, to conduct a stand down in August. So we've been well on our way to planning. I'm looking at the grant application, and I've been doing a proposal. Now, our event is inside of 90 days, so I wanted to see if I could request an exception to the 90-day rule.
It's in the Federal Register notice that it has to be 90 days. I would get in contact with the DVET to ask about that, because I don't do the determination of whether they would do an exception, but because there is that that direction actually in the Federal Register notice that it has to be 90 days, I'm pretty sure that'll hold. So I would get in contact with with your DVET as soon as possible.
Okay. I mean,
do you see the directory down there at the end? Okay.
Excuse me?
Do you see there's the link to the directory to get in contact with the DVET? Okay. Use that. So as soon as we're done today, call them next.
Okay, and I know you're going away, but is somebody else available to talk to about finalizing this proposal?
Just send me an email. I'll have access to email, but I just won't be able to call you back. But just shoot me an email, and I should be able to get back to you.
Okay.
But your actual application will be submitted to the staff over at Vets, so you can go through with the processing of it. But if you have questions for me, I'll still be able to help you through email.
Okay. And, I mean, the deadline for submitting the application is right here. So basically it's 30 days, right? It was July 1st or until the funds are exhausted, you were saying?
Oh, during the fiscal year, it's until the funds are exhausted. And the last I heard that there are still funds available, so I would, contact them sooner rather than later.
All righty. Thanks for your help.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Alan Cohorst of Volunteers of America.
This is Al Cohorst in New Orleans, and we have had one-day stand-down events in 2009, 10, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
This follows an HVRP grant application where we allocated $3,000 per year for the events. And, of course, we recruited, substantial in-kind support.
Right.
In our renewal HVRP grant for 2012, we added $5,000 of support. So what I'm wondering, while that grant was approved, I'm wondering would we still be eligible to apply for stand-down support?
Okay, so you should probably get in contact with your DVET also, because you can't actually use any of your HVRP money to support stand-down. None of those funds can be used for stand-down at all, and that's different from how it used to be. But now none of your HVRP money can go for stand-down. That's why there is the separate Federal Register notice and separate application for stand-down funds, because you have to apply for it separately. It's a good thing for HVRPs because you can secure additional funding. So say you applied for $300,000 instead of losing, for you guys, $3,000 of that a year that was going to stand down, you can still apply for the $300,000 and then also apply for additional money to support stand down. But none of your HVRP money can be used for stand down, so don't use that. Talk to your DVET about what's going on with your budget related to your HVRP grant. There might need to be a grant mod or something done to move those funds. But I would definitely still apply for the separate funding through this Federal Register notice.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from Victoria Tierson of Grandma's Hand.
Yes, hi, I'm Victoria Pearson. I currently work with the Volunteer Down Man Shelter for the homeless veteran. However, my question is, here in Charlotte, there is not a lot of support. I'm doing my first fundraiser August 4th for the veterans, the homeless veterans. However, for next year, for the stand down, do I need to go to my VA office and find out who is the veterans rep there in the community for homeless veterans to help me put together this stand down, since this will be my first year?
No, it depends on who else in the community you're working with. Some community organizations, and the first stand down started purely from a group of individuals that saw the need and started stand down. So a lot of them start within the community. It's necessary definitely to have the folks at your VA Medical Center participating in your stand down, because they will be connecting the homeless veteran to their benefits, to medical services, and to other VA-specific services that the veterans wouldn't otherwise have access to. So you definitely want to have them as a partner moving forward with it, and the sooner you can get in contact with them, the better. Now, whether you want you might want to get in contact with them also, because they might already be hosting a stand-down event that they have on the VA Medical Center campus, and at least for the first year or a couple of years, you might be able to tag on to their event or work with them on one that they're already having. It'll depend on what your resources are and what you think is what you think you are capable of putting together. And we can talk about this more offline if you want to talk through what your resources are and what might be the best next step for you in putting together your stand down. But you definitely overall want to have that connectivity to the VA medical services whenever possible.
Okay.
And if you're wanting to apply for VET funding, you have to have that connectivity.
Okay, but if I apply for it on my own under my agency, Grandma's Hands, would I have to do that as a separate stand down?
If you're applying for DOL Vets funding, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
If you're applying for DOL Vets funding as an independent stand down, part of your application has to show your connection to the medical center. So
okay.
You can participate in their event, or you could have your own. I'm not sure if they have one on their campus, but regardless, you do have to have that VA presence at your event.
Okay, and just like the gentleman had said, it's basically me going out and finding a venue that will, like the Hilton, that will assist or allow me to have to stand down at their facility, correct?
It depends what is feasible in your community. Sometimes they'll be on, high school. You could have one outside instead of tents. You can rent the hotel like Mr. Nelson did. It's just dependent on what's going to be most cost effective within your budget and what you can get donated, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Understood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think we have time for one more.
Your question comes from Cynthia Clark of Clark's House.
Hi, I have three questions that I'm going to try to just eliminate time.
Okay.
The first question is, in regard to our DVET, are we supposed to contact them for a letter of support if we have our leavers and DVOPs here locally? Should we be contacting the DVOPs and leavers, or should we be contacting the DVET over all the regions?
Well, you definitely want to have your DVOPs and your leavers on board, and your application is actually submitted to the DVET. So your letters of support you'll want from your DVOPs and leavers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, my question is, in regards to the 90-day event, so we had planned on having one for September the 15th, and on the first call, which was on the 26th, I realized that it had to be within a 90-day period.
Mm-hmm.
So we extend that for a month. As long as we do it before December 31st of 2012, it's acceptable, even if we submit our application 90 days prior to that. That would be correct.
Yeah, as long as you're submitting your application with at least 90 days before your event is going to occur and your event's not that far into the future, it's still within the calendar year, you should be good to go. But so what you're saying then is that you're extending it, so it's not going to
affect the 90-day, correct.
Okay, yep.
Okay, and my last
question. Anytime you can have, just to toss another piece in there, if you submit an application that might have might need some tweaking,
mm-hmm.
you always want to try and give any extra time you can outside of that 90 days, because the worst thing would be to submit it thinking you're good to go. You submit it right at that 90-day mark, and then you get it back and pieces of it are disapproved and you have to resubmit and have to move your whole event. So,
okay, so give it more than 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other thing is I noticed in both the two presentations that you are including the 2011 point in time survey. And also, according to HUD and the National Homeless Statistics, the veterans have just been added for the state of Florida. I'm not sure about other states within the last year. Are those numbers taken into consideration when reviewing the application? Because we just started including our veterans in January's point-in-time survey.
You'll want to include the most up-to-date information that you can pull from that data. The 2012 continuum of care, you have that point in time count data? Is that what you're talking about?
We have 2012, but our numbers are low. We just started incorporating it the middle of 2011.
Okay.
So we've had the point in time for years, but we're just now incorporating a link where if you're actually a veteran, and I'm just
right.
curious to know, does that affect the application at all?
Well, I'm not sure how that would affect the application. So it's the first year, it was the first time that continuums of care were required to report the veteran data
exactly.
when they're doing the point in time count. You will want to use the most up-to-date information you have. So if you have the 2012 point-in-time count data, that's probably what you're going to want to use. If you feel like that's missing any components of the homeless veteran representation in your area, when you do your program narrative, I would explain that. But you definitely do want to use that data because it is required of all continuums of care now to capture that data. That should be the most reliable information you have.
Okay. That's all I needed. Thank you so much. And what is your email address?
Thanks for asking, because I was going to mention that again. It's bcrone, B-C-R-O-N-E, at nchv.org. So if you have any questions for me, shoot me an email, give me a call. Like I said, I won't be in the office for the rest of this week, but I will try to respond to emails as soon as I can. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for being on today's call. I'm looking forward to working with all of you, and especially with the new HVRP grantees. Looking forward to this program year. Thank you, Stephen, very much for being on today's call and for sharing your experience. I don't know if you had any last remarks that you wanted to share.
Just start planning early and look to your community for all the support they can give you, not only volunteer-wise, but money-wise.
Very, very good guidance. Thank you very much, everyone, for participating today, and have a great day. Take care.